Right, Kayla, for the first time since December the 9th, the Toronto Raptors officially back to 500.
Burrell, since we last recorded an episode on the 13th of February, 2023, the Raptors have remained a mediocre team. Despite the addition of Jakob Poeltl, Jeff Doughton Jr., and Will Barton, shrewd additions in themselves, the Raptors don't seem to have particularly worked out their identity and, worryingly, what they're going to do in the future. With worries about Nick Nurse's own personal prospects, especially going into next season and the rumours surrounding that, and what to do with major contracts such as Van Vliet, Siakam, and OG. There's a lot to discuss being a Raptors fan right now, but let's start positively. What's been your number one bonus from these last couple of months, in which, to be fair, the Raptors do have a positive record?
Mel, I'm not a man who lives in the positive and the bonus world, especially when it comes to this Raptors side. Put me in a very difficult situation there. One positive thing. It pains me. I think Jakob Poeltl's rebounding. He's been very good and consistent.
And a seven-footer who can rebound. I mean, who could have imagined that would improve this team?
Right. Mr. Double-double, except he doesn't get the double in terms of points. He just gets it in terms of rebounds. But yeah, that's my positive. What would be your positive, Kamel?
The emergence of aforementioned Jeff Doughton Jr. Now, I do feel sorry for Malachi Flynn. And, you know, we have rallied for him to get minutes. And to be fair, he's still sort of averaging 13 minutes a game. But this guy, Jeff, my man, has really shown that he is the floor general that can be on the floor. Now, he'll never be starting caliber, sorry to say to him, for a contending team. But as a backup, to eat up those minutes, you know, not be a net negative on the floor, my man Jeff's right there.
Yeah.
And I love that. But I mean, just to highlight these two things, let's kind of take a look at some of these games. So since we last recorded, there was wins against Orlando, New Orleans, and Detroit, loss against Cleveland, win against Chicago, loss and a win and a doubleheader against Washington, three losses against Denver, and then the two LA teams, wins against Denver and OKC and Minnesota, losses against Milwaukee and Indiana, triple win against Detroit, Washington, and Miami. And of course, the last time we faced Joel Embiid, it was quite a comfortable loss. So, some highlight results from there. I'm actually going to start very recent. I'm going to go for this Philly game. Because it was a game, I think, Raptors had just reached 500 with a decent win up against Miami. And there was, of course, there's a decent chance that the Raptors, should they get through the play-in, could actually be drawn up once again against the Philadelphia 76ers. But there was a weird kind of flat note to this game. And with the exception of Scottie Barnes, who in the third and fourth quarter finally, you know, got his and ended up with 29 points, 13 of 19 shooting, there wasn't really a secondary spark, which of course against a team like Philly, you absolutely need. What did you kind of think of this game? And I guess, what do you think of this matchup in general? Do you think the Raptors are any better suited than last year, seeing that, of course, the rosters are fairly similar, especially from Philly's side?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Firstly, do we have any chance of playing them? Because I don't think we really have too much of a prospect of getting the sixth seed. And I think Philly
are third right now, yeah.
But have Philly got a chance of coming second? How many games are they behind?
They're 2.5 games behind the Celtics. So yeah, it's unlikely.
Think that's happen, because what, there's like 5 or 6 games remaining this season.
Yeah, so, I mean, apart from us, Philly haven't gone on a great run. 3 consecutive losses before they played the Raptors kind of put them firmly out of contention for second.
Yeah, so I think we're basically got no non-existent chances now of getting the sixth seed. I think we have to rely on getting into the play-in, which means we're not going to be playing Philly in the first round. I think we can save this for maybe next episode in 4 or 5 games time, but I think at that stage, it'll start looking like us hopefully in the 7th, 8th seed play-in matchup, looking to become the 7th seed, because I actually fancy our chances better against. Let's save it for another episode, because I do think I fancy us against Bucks more than the Celtics.
But there is a theme, and is why I brought up Philly specifically. And I went through that list of the Raptors' results. They're beating up on all the bad teams, and I guess with the exception of kind of wins against Denver.
Yeah,
that's it, right? The wins against Denver and maybe New Orleans. That was it. I mean, the rest of the time, you come up against a decent team above 500, and you know, you get beaten quite comfortably. So it's kind of that. Is this Philly game kind of a microcosm of that throughout the season?
Yeah, it's a very eloquent way of putting it, Kamel. And I would actually, I'm not too much of a believer in these. This is a team that loses to the good teams and then only beats on the bad teams. Like, normally those kind of consistent teams are the ones who average out a better standing in like a regular season type setting. We know teams like this in the Premier League who they just consistently beat the bad teams. That's enough at least to get them like a top four position if they're just consistent like that. This kind of consistency for us, winning 3-4 games on the bounce, which we have done in this spell, we haven't seen this all season. So I am quite positive. I'm happy about what I'm seeing. Some of these teams that we're playing, the two Lakers teams, for example, they are desperately trying to make it into the playoffs. Like, these teams will all get playing their hearts out. The same with the Bucks. At that time, they were trying to secure the number one seed. So losing to literally the best teams in the league, like the Lakers and Clippers, I think they're among the best teams in both conferences. Like, because they're both now healthy, they've got all their star players. So it's like, don't look at it too much as a negative, Kamel. I think seeing that consistency against these weaker teams, it's just, again, we haven't seen that for a season and a half. So I wouldn't read too much into we just lose to the good teams. That's to be expected, I think.
But my problem is the Raptors are also trying. Like, you look at the minutes that these guys play in March. Siakam and Van Vliet are by far the minutes leaders in the NBA. They played averaging almost 38 minutes, even against these terrible teams. OG, 36 minutes. Scotty, it's great if Scotty gets 34 minutes, but because of the lack of production still from the bench, it doesn't add up to kind of just great fourth quarter long games. And that's where Philly really took advantage. When the bench came out in that second quarter, you saw, I mean, I talked about Jeff Doughton Jr., but he went minus 13 in that game. Achua minus 3, Boucher minus 4, and then you've got players like Van Vliet and Scotty who are positives on the floor, but it's the bench letting them down.
They killed us. The bench absolutely came out. Our starters played good first half. We were down 20 in the first half, and their bench, I think I looked at the stats at halftime. I was running it live, and I think 8 of their players or something like that were almost on double digit points. It was like 6 or 7 players.
Patrick, Paddy Reed, 11, Niang, 5, Jaden McDaniel, 7. I mean, it's just, I mean, if the Raptors had anything like that, it would be extremely useful. And it would give the starters much needed rest instead of playing 40 plus minutes a game.
Yeah. We've been talking about this for God knows how long, haven't we?
Yeah. But I mean, I will do a bit of positive. I mean, since we last recorded, the Raptors are 11-8. So they have stabilized it. You're right. They've gone through 2 bouts of 3-game winning streaks against teams, you know, like OKC, like Denver, who are trying really, really hard to get in these playoffs. I want to just touch on Poeltl for a minute, because he's been a consistent figure throughout this good run that they're having. In the month of March, you could say he's played 14 games, averaging 30 minutes, averaging 14 points a game. Rebounds, so 10. So he's averaging, as you say, a double-double. He's not diming as much as you would like, but I think a lot of the stuff he does is with the tangibles. So, you know, like off-ball screens and spacing and helping create. So he's been a great addition. Obviously, the Raptors re-sign him, right? That was never really a doubt before, but now it's just 100% Raptors re-sign.
When you're trading a first round as well, Camille, it'd be very unwise move to not sign him. If you're giving up a first round, it would be ridiculous, actually. So, yeah.
And talking of the bench, one guy that came in who had hoped would strengthen that bench is Will Barton, of course. Very experienced player, and a lot of people very excited about him. Before you talk about him, I'll give you his stats. He's averaging 3 points a game in 13 minutes. and he's not, his shooting splits, obviously, as you can tell, aren't ideal. Obviously, what do you think the rationale was behind signing him, and why hasn't it quite worked out?
Well, the rationale is obvious. Very good three-point. Well, this is the thing. There's this misconception that he's a very good three-point shooter. I think career is 36%. Like, he's a solid three-point shooter, but he's nowhere near elite. I think this year, he's having a particularly good year. I think he was over 40% from three this year. Three and D guy, Will Barton. So when we signed this guy, we knew he wasn't 2020 or 2019 Will Barton, because at that time, it was basically between him and Jamal as to who's going to be the number two guy for Jokic. Like, people might be saying, oh, no, that was always set in stone. It was always Jamal. And then when they drafted Michael Porter, oh, he was clearly the third guy. No, like, Will Barton was, like, he's very, very good. I think around 15-point a game, getting close to 20-point a game a season in his best year at Denver. But he's had a lot of knee and hamstring issues in the past couple of years. And that's why, like, you can, even if you just look at his minutes per game, like, he in 21-22, 32 minutes a game. The next season, he's on 20 minutes a game. And with us so far, he's been on, 12, 13 minutes a game. He's had a lot of knee issues. And he's 31 as well. Typically, guards having knee issues past the age of 30, they tend to, be declining as a commodity. We've seen that so many times. Mainly at the point guard position, but shooting guard, I think, it still applies. So I don't think I'm expecting to see the same play I saw 2 years ago. But if he's able to be a 15 minutes a game off the bench and give us solid bench production, which is one of the things we're looking for, like, I think he's still capable of that. But I'm not expecting him to be a 20-point or 15-20-point a game starting shooting guard anymore. Like, I think he's had too many injury issues for that to be the case now.
Yeah, but you do hope, especially with these play-in games coming, that he will be able to draw on such experience and kind of contribute in that way. But it's interesting you mentioned you just want someone who's going to come in and be that backup, backcourt guy to do a job. And we mentioned Jeff Doughton Jr. earlier, but he's turned it on. And I think it's something that doesn't really show up on the box score. But the fact is, if you go through his kind of game logs, you go through his net rating, he's just a very solid player. He's just a very solid guard. You know, he's the kind of... You imagine if the Raptors kept kind of Corey Joseph or Delon Wright around. Mm. You know, those guys who eat up 10, 15 minutes, give Van Vliet a rest, still keep the offense going, have good connections with the other team. And he's still a young player. And it's interesting. He's still on a sort of minor league, G League contract. I'm not sure quite about the specifics, which means he only has a certain amount of games he can play. So Nick Nurse has interestingly been using him sparingly. And in the games he has played, he's actually played quite a lot of minutes. But, I mean, he's only 25. And, you know, that deal gets converted into quite a cheap contract. You know, you're looking at a decent backup point guard for next season, at the very least.
Yeah, for next season, at the very least. And that's the point. Kamel, I've always found it so interesting, the quandary of the backup player who just shines too much and then you end up losing them in free agency. Like, we're too good at developing talent. Our talent, our bench talent, develops to such stage that they become, from the NBA market perspective, as a solid starter. That's how they get looked at. And so we just develop guys into, like, starting level, and then in free agency they get 50 million a year somewhere else. Like, I mean, Norm Powell, obviously we traded him, but, like, he's that kind of coming off the bench, again, starting level type of player. Now he's not starting on the Clippers, of course, but yeah, we've done this time.
Van Vliet and Siakam, of course, who have become starters. OG as well. You forget that these guys used to be part of benchmark.
But there's so many that have left us. Like, so many. Like Pirtle's an example. He's come back again, but, you know, he was part of our... Do you remember, Kamel, it was like 3-4 years ago when we had, like, the best bench unit, benchmark, wasn't it? We had literally five legit, like, very, very good bench players. I think all of them have left to go start somewhere else in the league. So,
yeah, with the contract situation and the salary cap, that kind of thing is unsustainable, unfortunately. So you do get punished if you're very good at developing players. I just wanted to highlight one more game, which kind of indicated where the Raptors are at. And I think it's that big win against OKC, who are a solid outfit this year, another sort of perennially 0.500 team. And that was a win 128-111. Siakam, of course, led everything with 25-14-8, but it was the kind of Gary Trent off the bench which really interested me, because that's kind of become his role right now. He is the sixth man. He's gone from kind of the team's kind of go-to scorer to that sixth man. And I just wanted to kind of get a little bit of insight on whether he will be happy with this. Because obviously, tactically, it works. It makes sense. He's still averaging 14 points a game in less than 30 minutes. But is he happy with it, do you think? Is he the guy who's going to run with the bench mob? Because Lowry used to do that role back in the time. And I think the Raptors have been looking for someone else to kind of prop up their bench and kind of have a more of a veteran presence running with them.
Really good question. He should be happy with it. Isn't he that more of a player, Kamel? Not a very good defender, and he can shoot in bunches off the bench.
But Jamal, another team's going to give him a starting opportunity for sure.
Because
I mean, it's not like he's not getting minutes. I mean, he's been injured for a bit. His last game was against the Bucks. 5 of 10 from 3, 18 points. Before that, 19 against Minnesota, 23 of course in this game.
Yeah.
26 back at the start of March against Washington. So he's getting minutes and he's getting results, but
yeah.
it's just something to think about, I think, and a kind of split in that sense. But I mean, that kind of win
then,
you have.
But then what do you do, Kamel? Who do you put on the bench? Ananobi or Barnes?
Exactly.
That's your.
And that's why I think a trade, and I think we'll obviously discuss this postseason, but trading one of those guys is necessary, I think, if you want to keep Gary Trent. You just got to do it.
Gary Trent, but you're trading Gary Trent then, because you want to keep both of those guys. I do. OG of the two works, I think.
We'll see in the playoffs. I think all this matters. I wanna see who delivers in the playoffs out of these core bunch. Scotty is, of course, his first season.
Good player, but Kamel, like, if you're a GM building an idealized squad, Gary Trent is the perfect sixth man.
I trade away Van Vliet.
Yes, okay, fine. But like, if we take it outside of Toronto, if you look at just Trent, like, he fits that mold perfectly. Hero, Crawford, I'm trying to think of the other LA Clippers guy who won.
Lou Will.
He's that mold of player. Like, I don't like my shooting guards who are undersized and not good defenders. I don't like them starting. I like them coming off the bench, though.
Yeah, providing that spark.
So,
well, I'm confident about him in the playoffs. I'm very confident, but it's just
he's very good at what he does. But I still want him starting.
That's more than fair. Now, I just want to close, actually, because I was talking about some tensions between Gary Trent and Nick Nurse, but there's some tensions, I think, between Nick Nurse and the franchise right now. There's a lot of rumors of him leaving. He said in a recent interview that he might have a look to take some time out after, you know, 10 years of coaching. So it's a weird one. And they, of course, I think disgraced Celtics coach has been rumored to come in instead of him.
Disgraceful war, Kamel. Disgraceful war.
I shall make no comment as not to libel anyone.
Yeah.
Of course.
All of that seems very, very fishy, that whole situation. But yeah, let's
He's a good coach, but I mean, Nick Nurse to the Rockets, that's the rumor. And I just don't see why that split has occurred. Do you think it's something to do with the front office, the kind of players he's given him, the lack of the bench? I mean, it's a difficult one, really.
I think that's why Ojiri's frustrated.
You think it's his choice rather than Nurse's?
No, as in, I think the tension probably comes from that. Because, look, Masai's a good GM. He's probably seeing similar things to what we are seeing in terms of last year, the year before, we saw him as this visionary coach who ran these absurd defensive schemes that worked. And then this year, I think the big thing that I've seen, just the stagnation in offense, the lack of ideas, it's just sometimes, Kamel, it's quite dull to watch a Toronto game, really.
Oh, it's horrendous. Can I just say as well, we're obviously a Raptors podcast, but this team is horrible to watch. Sometimes I only watch it in order to research for these episodes. Fans, yeah. Like, I mean, you went obviously a few months ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not the same. That whole 2019 vibe, the party vibe is lost. You know, even in the years pre, even under Dwayne Casey, we had something fun going. But it's just not. Maybe it's time, as you're right, it's time it's coming to a natural end. And that starts with Nick Nurse.
Well, we're excited to watch the transition, but we don't have an offensive scheme, a game plan, an idea. Like, there's no notion of, oh, this is the Raptors' offense, apart from try and steal the ball and get the ball up in transition. That is our offensive identity. That is not an offensive identity. And it's the other thing that goes with that. So we don't really seem to have that kind of identity. And the second thing is we're running our players into the ground and playing them 40 minutes. So it's just like, well, you're risking these players' future. They're all going to have injury problems in the next couple of years. It's inevitable. They're not bloody androids or robots. Like, anyone who's played these kind of minutes have suffered devastating injuries. I hope it doesn't happen, but think of all the Tom Thibodeau teams, and literally almost all of those guys suffered horrific, like, injuries that affected the rest of their careers. I think we've been very lucky so far in that respect. VanVleet, of course, is that kind of struggling with more so ongoing issues from the injury he got last year. So he's maybe one example of where that's gone wrong. But as soon as those things start happening, and they're going to happen, I'm telling you, people are going to start getting seriously injured. I think then he's out the door if he's still delivering 500 results. So
we got to remember that he's obviously taken over. He's gone from such an elite roster, where the likes of VanVleet, Norm, etc., were coming off the bench, and he had Kawhi, Gasol, Lowry, and everyone like that, to kind of being forced into this 6'9" experiment, where it just hasn't worked. And maybe it just doesn't align. The front office, obviously, the recruitment doesn't align with Nick Nurse's own coaching values. And, you know, some coaches just can't coach this way. Maybe they feel someone like, you know, whoever they bring in will be more suited to kind of coach the experiment they want. Maybe it's just disenfranchisement from Nick Nurse's side. We've seen the amount of comments he's made about kind of the Raptors' energy, their effort. It's not a great sign. Yeah. It's not a great
sign.
That's
not a good sign, is it?
At all.
That's it seems like Conte-esque, isn't it? He's like, team's not giving enough. He's not going, I'm not doing this enough or something. He's like, the team's lacking energy. Okay.
And that doesn't take anything away, like, from Conte. It doesn't take anything away from Nurse. He's an amazing coach. But, you know, sometimes time just comes to an end. But we'll see anyway. I think obviously a lot of it depends on, we've got 4 games left. The Raptors are guaranteed the play-in. Do they get to that kind of final bracket? Do they get to the Eastern Conference semi-final? Will that be enough?
No, yeah, it's not going to happen, Mel. You think we're going to upset the Bucks or the Celtics? Like, that's what we have to do.
If he does, then this experiment is going longer. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I want him gone personally. I think he's a very good coach, but time has run its course.
End of Wenger, end of Arsene Wenger. Just time to go, mate. Just time to go.
It's time to go.
Go.
On that note, it's bloody time to go, because this episode has run for quite a while. So there we go.
Well, we hope you enjoyed. We're going to bring you more regular episodes. We're going to bring you one at the end of the season. And of course, throughout the play-ins, we'll be bringing you even more regular stuff. But for now, we are back. Keep following us at BallingInTheSix on Twitter. BallingInTheSix.wordpress.com is our website. And, you know, sending questions, voting our polls. We're back, baby.
All right. Take care, everyone.